Scripture with a bit of a faith flavor. You might have noticed that that faith flavor had been mixed in. We were looking at the two miracle births of Mary and Elizabeth. Both give us a lesson on living by faith. And that's something that we can take away today, and I believe should be a takeaway. Both give us a lesson on what it is to live by faith. And how many of you know that just shall live by faith? And that's right. So we need to learn and understand what it is to live by faith and understand the intricacies, the things that we should be doing, what should be in our heart, what should be in our mouths. Who's been doing their homework from last week? Rosemary sends her love, by the way. She's already in holiday mode. Of course, down there enjoying the cooler weather as well. But she sends her love, but she goes, check to see if they're doing their homework. Of course, keen to know that, you know, that there is a heart for the Word of God. That we don't lose even during holiday time, that we even press in deeper for what the Lord has for us. And just two or three scriptures that we can stand on and say, you know, let your word be done unto me according to your will. And so very important. But as we saw the two miracle births, Mary and Elizabeth last week, and both give us a lesson on that. And Mary's was a virgin birth, and of course Elizabeth's was a miracle birth, wasn't it? And you know, her situation was in that she was, you know, in her old age. This is Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, and the situation was that she's very much in her old age and a history of being barren, unable to bring forth children, and she needed a miracle. And we took the time to see the contrast between Mary's response to the word of the Lord from the angel Gabriel, and of course concerning a miracle birth, and Zechariah's response, that's Elizabeth's husband, and his response to having a miracle birth. And we saw there was quite a bit of difference, different responses that were given. Mary wanted to know how it would happen. How will you do this was more where she was coming from. And Zechariah wanted to know, how could this happen? In other words, there was a little bit of a difference there in his response. But Mary's response was one of faith. Be it unto me according to your word. In other words, let your word be fruitful in my life. And Zechariah didn't respond in faith, we saw. So he comes from the angelic, he comes away from that angelic visitation mute. He comes away speechless. And please note, heaven's plan relied on what Zechariah would say. All right? So Gabriel goes like, Zechariah, if you're not going to say anything good, well then, until your son John the Baptist is born, you're not going to say anything at all. Boom. And he comes out of the you know, out of this angelic visitation event, and he can't say a word. You know, he can't say a word about it. And they're saying, something's happened in there. You know, the thing was, as he was struck silent, struck mute. Let's take another look at that Christmas scripture, and I believe that'd be good for us to do this morning. Luke chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son.'" Notice, it was his prayer. Notice it was something that he had, you know, had a heart for. He wanted to have a baby. You know, they are in their older age, and they're still wanting to have this baby, and they're praying about it. And it says, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." He's got a mission. He's got a purpose. And of course, the angel Gabriel speaks it out over him. And here is Zechariah hearing the word, but he still has unbelief. And of course, unbelief, and understand this, unbelief will rob you in the kingdom of God. Unbelief has that effect. Unbelieving believers all over the world will dress up their unbelief, cover it in religious form, get busy with good works, go for alternatives, borrow a few lovely sayings from an unbelieving guru, okay, or slip back into that old Doris Day doctrine, you know, which is que sera, sera, whatever will be, you know, that fatalism that doesn't get, you know, well, we just don't know, you know, we just, whatever God wants to do, and of course, rob themselves from the word that they can stand on in their life and speak and declare out over their life and see a difference and see the Lord being true to his word. Understand this, church. Unbelief will rob you of God's best for your life. And you know the sequence. If you have unbelief in your heart, where's it going to end up next? Where's it going to go next if it's in your heart? In your mouth. Thank you. For those of you that understand that truth and are applying it, how many of you know a lot of it just means just stopping what you're saying, because unbelief will take on that voice. Jesus taught us all over there in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For what? Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks those words. You know, what's in your heart is going to be in your mouth. What we have to do is recognize that and actually do something about what's in our heart. Actually change it. Get the word of God into our heart so that that's what we're speaking. We're speaking aligned to what God's word says. And Zacharias does the unthinkable. Out of unbelief, he speaks the problem in front of an angel. I don't know about you, but I'd be wanting to probably say something else in front of an angel if an angel turned around. But he goes and says, and verse 1 and 18, Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? A little bit of a recap from last week, all right? How shall I know this? For I am old, I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. In other words, how's this going to happen? In fact, the contemporary English version says, Zechariah said to the angel, how will I know this is going to happen? You know, some people just want a little bit more assurance, but we've got the word. That's assurance enough, isn't it? The word of the Lord. That's assurance enough for us all. How will I know this is going to happen? My wife and I are both very old. So he speaks unbelief in the presence of the angel. We'll see what happens there in Luke chapter 1. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place. Why? Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. So to stop Zechariah from cutting off, you know, with more words of unbelief, say, how could that possibly happen? Oh, I can't see how this is going to happen. Cuts off his speaking into that situation, his words spoken out over this very, very needful miracle, which is the miracle birth of John. So we see that, and the angel said, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered to the Holy Spirit. Now, this is, again, the contrast. We're looking now at Mary's different response, a much different response. And of course, she goes, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that one who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. You know, some of us just need to remember that. That one little verse there, for with God nothing will be impossible. Some of us need to remind ourselves when we're facing difficult situations and what seems to be obstacles that couldn't possibly be overcome. You know, we're praying this morning, you know, that for this church, we believe wholeheartedly that, you know, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And, you know, when we're people that are surrendered to the Spirit of the Lord, people that are surrendered to the Word of God coming to fulfillment, I tell you, we see this with nothing with God. Anything that you put with God in prayer, the Word of God, nothing will be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. There's her faith extended, surrendered. She's saying, let your word be done in my life. And that's what we should be doing. We started a little bit of homework from Rosemary there last week, a little bit of homework. Find three scriptures that apply to your situation that you're in at the moment and actually apply it. Just start praying those promises out over your life and finish it all off by saying, let it be to me according to your word. Start standing on the word. He's faithful. Amen. Who's started their homework already? No one. Okay, I know it's a long holiday break. Sorry, a couple of hands up. Talking to a few people the same, they've already started, so. Hallelujah. Well, we're giving awards out this morning for those that have already started. Okay, now who started their... there we go. So we see that, you know, this very, very important truth. And it says, and the angel departed from her. It's such a key scripture or verse, not just because of the contrast with the response from Zacharias, but because it's a verse that shows us how we partner with God in seeing God's will in heaven being done on earth. It's a verse that shows us that God is watching over his word to perform it. All we have to do is be surrendered to it. His word, his promises, his great and precious promises. Amen? Zacharias demonstrated that we can all sabotage God's intended plan and purpose with our wrong believing and our wrong words. Words are powerful in the kingdom. And our response to what we see and hear is either going to contribute to our miracle or detract from it. Remember Galatians chapter 3 verse 5, we started on this a few weeks ago, and it was just something the Lord really stirred in my heart there, and I saw it there in Galatians 3 5. It says, he that supplies the Spirit and works miracles among you, that can only be the Lord, right? Does he do it by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law? Now, it was a good question, and that bit about the works of the law could throw you a bit, but He's really saying, no, he does it by the what? The hearing of faith. Where's that coming from? Church, you know, heaven is tuned into a frequency that is transmitted from the earth. Okay? It's transmitted from here. And that frequency is faith. Heaven is tuned in for that. The signal is made up of two sounds, both believing in your heart, and speaking. And when we tune our heart and our mouth in, okay, we connect to the power of heaven. That's a transmission that goes, it's a signal that reaches heaven. And of course, the miraculous will flow out of heaven in response when we get our heart and our mouth aligned in faith, believing him at his word. A few weeks ago, we looked at those verses that are over there in Luke chapter 8 and verse 40. To 44, it says, so it was when Jesus returned and the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there was a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. And now a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. Look, this is a busy day in Jesus' ministry. He's got Jairus going, could you come to my house, please? And so on his way, up comes the woman with the issue of blood, touches the hem of his garment. Of course, she goes, I'm healed. Jesus turns around and says, well, I know someone's just touched me because power just went out from me. And Jairus is still sitting there waiting. And look what it goes on to say. And Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied it, Peter and those who were with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you. In other words, they're all touching you. And you say, who touched me? But Jesus said this, and just note this, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. I perceived power going out from me. So Jesus knew when power flowed out of him. If you've ever been in a prayer line or have ever been around the praying for people, that's something that you experience sort of fairly frequently, is that sense of power just being released and God just moving and touching people's lives. Verse, but as it goes on to say, now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, She came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she'd touched him and how she was healed immediately. You know, Jesus is walking in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the woman touches him by faith. You can go to another passage where it says, "For she said in her heart, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." There's that, you know, that declaration from her heart. She's a woman transmitting faith, and she connects. Other people are touching Jesus, but they're not touching him with faith. Isn't that interesting? And we have to be those ones that are touching him by faith, touching heaven by faith. Let's just recognize that it's not on Jesus' agenda. You know, he's headed for Jairus' house where his daughter is very sick, and of course he needs to be get there. And that notice that the woman's still able to receive from God's will in heaven regarding healing. And I like verse 48. Verse 48 is really good. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. You haven't held me up. You haven't postponed me getting to where I need to go. Be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well." Whose faith made her well? Jesus' faith? Her faith. And he says, "Just go in peace." In other words, you're blessed. Because you transmitted faith. You transmitted it, believing in the heart. And of course, you can imagine this passage of Scripture has all the drama and passion of a day in the life of Jesus. Because while the woman's getting her need met, Jairus is sitting there waiting for him to come to the aid of his daughter, who's very sick. And of course, Jairus is looking at the woman like, you know, you would if someone had jumped in the line for lobsters at the moment, you know. He's sort of seeing her as a line jumper, or he's seeing her as a line jumper. He's excuse me, there's a line here. We've got an agenda. We're on the way to my house. Could you please sort of hurry up? My daughter's not well. And look what happens in Luke chapter 8 and verse 49. It says, "And while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, 'Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher.' But when Jesus heard it, he answered and saying, 'Do not be afraid, only believe.'" Again, get back to faith. Don't get back to the rapport. Only believe. "And she will be made well." And when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James and John. He's got his inner circle. He knows that they're people of faith. He knows that they're going to say all the things and believe, etc., that they're going to stand. He only permits them in. All the unbelief has to leave. He permitted no one to go in except Peter, James and John and the father and mother of the girl. "Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, 'Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping.' And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead." So again, how important it is to see that the immediate need for Jairus is to keep his faith. Jesus turns to him, "Just all you've got to do here is only believe." And you know, in those crucial moments when you get a bad report, there's so many other options available to us, isn't there? So many other things that we could sort of feel or be tempted to do. Start to question why, you know, ask all the questions and start, getting over into unbelief. And Jesus stops him before Jairus has the opportunity to sabotage his miracle by expressing unbelief and through his that immediate grief and shock that evidently would have come. You know, and notice, as soon as the unbelief from family and friends begins to be transmitted, Jesus shows them the door. In verse 54, "But he put them all outside." You know, that's what we've got to do with doubt and unbelief, is just put it all outside. Open the door and say, "Out. I only want faith in here." That's what we do with our hearts. We close the door to unbelief and even our thoughts that this is never going to happen. How could this possibly happen? We close the door and make sure that all we have in our heart is faith and faith alone. "And he put them all outside, took her by the hand and called, saying, 'Little girl, arise.' And then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened." You know, just again this morning, we're going to finish early, and I just want to really put this out to you that the release of God's power hinges on transmission of our faith. You know, that signal that touches heaven, that signal that makes a difference in the crowd, that word that we're standing on, that promise from God that we should always hang on to and stand on, no matter what. Even when it looks like it couldn't get any worse, as in Jairus' daughter, he still puts unbelief out and continues to stand on that word and encourages Jairus not to sabotage his miracle by moving over into, you know, grief and shock and why did this happen? Start asking all the questions. Why is this? No, just put it out. Put unbelief out of your life and out of your circumstances, and make sure that you're found believing God's word and speaking God's word and not entertaining anything else. And like Mary, we need to appreciate that we don't understand, that what we don't understand can still be submitted to when we declare, let it be done according to your word. You know, that's what we're doing. We're submitting ourselves to God's word being done in our lives. And I so encourage yourself to give yourself to that at this time and in this season. You know that that his word should be done and done in such a way. And, you know, I always love to finish a sermon by encouraging every single one to reflect on these things and these truths, you know, to let the word go past, you know, here and into there where it's designed to be, where it's designed to go. That word of the Lord. Amen? That's so important for every single one of us to be standing on at this time and in this season. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And I'm going to, again, just to encourage you this morning, if, you know, you have any needs or you have a prayer need or you want us to stand with you in prayer and believe for a change in the circumstance that you're facing, please come on up afterwards and we'll be ready to pray for you. And, you know, we should again remember as we go from church this weekend that, you know, the people that we come around and get around through the Christmas period, you know, many of them don't really have the same understanding that we do about Christmas and what Christmas is about. Pastor June brought a good word about, you know, his purpose, his reason for coming. And I want to encourage anyone that's here this morning that maybe hasn't understood that yet, or would like to come to a closer understanding of you know, who we are, and of course the relationship that we have as Christians with the Lord Jesus. And I encourage you this morning that be ready to reach out and speak to others around you during the Christmas period about, you know, the life that we have in Christ and that the life that's available to them. But I'll make the invitation, if you'd like to be prayed for as we finish off this morning. You know, if you'd like to be prayed for in any way, come on down the front. Love to pray with you. And let's be a people that make sure that our signal is right. We better start singing, I think. And God bless you all.